Welcome to Giving an Ass, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, H.C. Felder, and today the topic is the truth behind ghosts, mediums, and psychic phenomena. And I have with me a very special guest, Dr. Ron Rhodes. And let me tell you about Dr. Rhodes. Dr. Rhodes has a master's in theology from Dallas Theological Seminary. He has a doctorate also from Dallas Theological Seminary. He's the author of 35 books. He's a keynote speaker at conferences across the United States, regularly addresses current issues in the national media. He teaches cult apologetics at Southern Evangelical Seminary, Talbert Seminary, and Biola University in California, and other well-known seminaries. And he's also president of Reasoning from the Scripture Ministries. Welcome to the show, Dr. Rhodes.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you.
Yes, it's an honor to have you on the show. And actually, I was one of those students in one of those classes you taught at Southern Evangelical Seminary on cults. And I,
well, you know, that's a great seminary. One of the things I like about the seminary is the quality of the students. You know, they've always been very eager to learn, and they're excited about the Word of God. And I have to say that that's not true of every Bible school.
Oh, wow.
But at Southern Evangelical, it is true, and I think one of the reasons for that is that they really have some really neat professors there. Of course, Norman Geisler
right.
is probably the top apologist in the world, and he's the right. one who founded the seminary. And so it's always exciting to be working with him.
Yes, I'm proud to be a graduate, and I'm proud to be one of your ex-students. As a matter of fact, I was looking over some of your notes from that class when I was preparing questions for asking you today. So some of these questions may sound familiar.
Well, now, you did pass the course, right?
Yes, I did.
I knew that you did. I was just saying that for the sake of our listeners.
Okay, all right. Okay. Well, you're president of Reasoning from the Scriptures. Tell us a little bit about your ministry.
Well, this is an apologetics organization, and of course, the word apologetics means that we focus on defending Christianity, and it doesn't matter what the attack is from. It could be a cult or a world religion or atheists, agnostics or skeptics. There's just all kinds of different attacks against Christianity today, and so we exist as a resource center to help Christians answer these different attacks, and we try to do so in a way that honors God. In other words, we don't try to have a situation where we're argumentative or confrontive or we're always in your face, as it were. Rather, we try to communicate strong answers but with a godly attitude. And I think that's an important thing because you can have all the strong answers in the world, but if you've got a spiritual chip on your shoulder, if you've got spiritual pride and you're speaking down to people, your answers really mean very little. And so in our ministry, it's not just about answers that defend Christianity, but it's also about walking with Christ and really letting that show through our lives.
Okay. Give the URL for that for people who are interested.
Well, you can visit our website by going to ronrhodes.org. That's ronrhodes.org. I figured that Reasoning from the Scriptures was too much for anybody to type into a web browser. So, you know, it's nice and simple, ronrhodes.org, and we've got a lot of free stuff you can download, all kinds of articles that are very helpful. We've also got a free newsletter that we distribute, and we don't ask for any money for that. You know, so if anybody's listening and they need some information on the world of the cults or false religions or skeptics or atheists or any of that kind of stuff, do stop by, and we've also got an email address there, and we actually do answer our email.
Okay.
And some ministries don't do that, but we do.
All right.
So, you know, if somebody's listening has a particular question that they need help with, feel free to email us, and we'll try to do our best to help you.
Okay. Like I said, the show title is The Truth Behind Ghosts, Mediums, and Psychic Phenomena. And the reason I call it that is because it's named after a book that you wrote. And I purchased that book, and I read it maybe in one day, two at the most, but it was a very, very interesting read because I find this topic simply fascinating. Now, how did you get interested in this topic?
Well, you know, it's kind of strange that this topic has become an area of interest to mainstream Americans, but you know, in reality, this has become one of the hottest topics around. And, you know, just to give you a little bit of a taste of what I'm talking about, recent polls indicate that 38% of Americans believe that ghosts can come back to visit us.
Mm.
That's over one-third of Americans. You know, the recent statistics indicate that there's over 300 million people in this country. And so that means that there's well over 100 million Americans who believe that ghosts can come back and visit us. Well, that's really the main reason I wrote this book.
Right.
We've got so many people out there who have been deceived into really believing a false religion. Because all this talk about ghosts and psychics has become a religion that competes with Christianity. And you see all kinds of TV shows today. In fact, just this past year, 14 of the brand new television shows had paranormal themes or ghost themes. And that's pretty amazing. It's not just your major networks like ABC and NBC, but it's also the Travel Channel, the Learning Channel, the Biography Channel. Everybody wants to show shows on ghosts.
Yeah, this is really picking up. And for the uneducated, exactly what do we mean when we talk about the paranormal? What does that mean?
Well, that's kind of a big word that most people don't come into contact with, so that's a good question. Really, the word paranormal simply means that which goes beyond the normal, that which goes beyond our five senses. You know, we all have five senses like touch and taste and smell and so forth. Anything that goes beyond those five senses is considered the paranormal. You know, broadly speaking, it can also refer to the supernatural or the hidden world of spirits. So, really, all this talk about ghosts is part of the paranormal because ghosts are obviously beyond what we can learn from the five senses. And so, basically, it's just a fancy word to refer to a very broad field of hidden knowledge.
Now, you talk about the fact that there are a whole bunch of shows coming out with this, and this is a very, very hot topic. Why is this such a hot topic? What is the appeal for the paranormal in our society today?
Well, I don't think it's like one issue alone. It's not like looking through a telescope at a single issue. It's more like looking through a kaleidoscope at a bunch of different issues that relate to, you know, why ghosts are so popular today. Now, let me just mention a couple of the more important ones. You're probably aware of the fact from the course that you took that there's been a huge Eastern invasion into this country. In other words, back in the 1960s, there was a tidal wave of Eastern religions that came into this country. And really, there's a lot that goes on in ghost phenomena that grows out of Eastern religion. So I think that kind of laid the groundwork. But beyond that, I think that there's many people today who are burned out on traditional Christianity. In other words, there's lots of people who have attended a church where they've got boring sermons and boring music, and they hear a message from the Bible that seems very irrelevant to them. And by contrast, this idea of contacting dead people, the idea that it doesn't matter what religion you subscribe to, all people go to heaven, those yeah. kinds of ideas seem very appealing to many people in this country. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe that Christianity is very exciting. I believe that a personal relationship with the Lord, you know, is the most exciting thing there is. But sadly, there are some churches out there who really don't do a very good job of communicating that. So I can understand why some people might become burned out on some of these churches. Not only that, but I think that we're living in a experience-oriented country today. If it feels right, how can it be wrong? You know, how can it be wrong if it feels so right? That's kind of a song, I think, that was popular a couple of decades ago.
Yeah.
But in any event, people are not basing their spiritual beliefs on the absolute word of God, but rather on the experiences that they have. And so, for example, if people wake up in the middle of the night and they sense a presence, well, maybe that's going to cause them to believe in ghosts. And then finally, I think people want to know the future. You know, when they talk about psychics and getting in contact with psychics and contacting the dead, a lot of this has to do with finding out knowledge about what the future holds. And people want to know if there's a romance coming down the road, or they want to know if there's a particular investment they should make with their money. You know, there's a lot of people are interested in what the future holds. And so I think all of these reasons together contribute to why psychic phenomena and why ghosts in particular are very, very popular today.
Exactly what is a ghost?
Well, now that's a question that's going to require some explaining, because there's a lot of misconceptions out there about what a ghost is. You know, a lot of people just think that any old spirit they see is a ghost, but people who believe in ghosts have a very specific definition of what a ghost is. As a backdrop, most people who believe in all of this say that at the moment of your death, people have the opportunity to go through a tunnel and into a great white light. And this great white light is variously defined, but most people consider it to be God. So you go through this tunnel, and once you go through this tunnel, you are said to be on the other side. That's what they call it, the other side. The only way to get there is through the tunnel. And once you're on the other side, you can be with other ghosts who have, or other spirits that have passed on to the other side, like your mother and your father and any other loved ones which have passed on. However, according to people who believe in all of this, if you choose not to go through the tunnel and you choose to remain on Earth, that makes you a ghost. So you're not a ghost if you go through the tunnel and you go to the other side, but you're considered a ghost only if you turn back from the tunnel and you stay on Earth for some reason. There might be a number of reasons why a ghost might choose to remain behind. For example, he might want to get even with his murderer, or he might want to hang around his girlfriend or boyfriend, or he might not even know that he's dead. You might remember the movie The Sixth Sense, where one of the characters didn't even know he was dead.
Right.
Well, Hollywood didn't just make that up. This is based upon what ghost enthusiasts really do believe. Some people who die don't know they're dead, and so they stay around on Earth. And so, again, that's what a ghost is. A ghost is a spirit who has not entered into the tunnel to go to the other side, but for some reason has chosen to remain behind on planet Earth.
So, Dr. Rose, then I can, well, according to their theology, I can decide to become a ghost?
Well, if you choose to stay behind, if you choose to remain on Earth and not go to the other side, then you're automatically characterized as a ghost or categorized as a ghost. What's interesting is that eventually all spirits end up going to the other side, and the reason I say that is that ghost enthusiasts say that the spirits on the other side do interventions. For example, if they look down and they see that there's a ghost down there that just perpetually stays around on Earth, they'll arrange an intervention where spirits from the other side go down there and help that deceived, poor old, miserable ghost find its way back to the other side. And so, just like human beings have interventions for drug addicts, so spirits on the other side have interventions for ghosts. So like I said, all the spirits eventually make it to the other side. But, sometimes it might take an intervention. Interestingly, most of these people also believe in reincarnation. And so what they would say is that they only stay on the other side for a certain amount of time because eventually those spirits will be born again on Earth, where they'll grow up all over again in another body. And then when they die again, they will go to the other side and stay there for a while, after which they will become born yet again on planet Earth. And so it's like a never-ending process.
Yeah, which is really interesting. So how do they validate this? I mean, what source do they have that they objectively root this in? I mean, like, I have the Bible that I can base my truth in. What do they have?
Well, interestingly, some of them actually do quote the Bible in support of reincarnation. For example, in John 3, Jesus said, "You must be born again." So some people look at that and say, well, maybe that's referring to reincarnation. But, of course, that's reading something into the Bible that's not there. When Jesus said, "You must be born again," the Greek word there has to do with being born from above. In other words, you have to be born spiritually. Jesus did not say you have to be born again and again and again and again and again. He said you must be born spiritually to enter into the spiritual kingdom of God. Most of what ghost enthusiasts believe actually come from alleged revelations from the ghosts themselves. They believe that psychics can actually get into communication with the ghost world or with the spirit world and provide new revelations to mankind. They have a very elaborate theology. They have very specific beliefs about God and Jesus and everything else. And most of those doctrines are based upon these alleged revelations, which come from communicating with spirits from the great beyond. And so they don't objectively base their view on the Bible, but rather they're based on mystical and subjective revelations which they've received.
What would they say about Jesus? Who is Jesus then?
Well, basically, Jesus is considered to be an enlightened individual, kind of a prototype for the rest of humanity. Jesus was God, but not in a unique sense. In other words, they're typically pantheistic, which means that everything in the universe is God. If Jesus was God, you are God too, just like I am God. That's what they would say. Of course, the fallacy there is that biblically Jesus was uniquely God in the sense that no one else is. Typically, these ghost enthusiasts will say that just like Jesus became the Christ, so you can become the Christ, and I can become the Christ. But what's interesting is that when you look at the Bible, whenever Jesus was recognized as the Christ, he never said, you too have the Christ within. Instead, Jesus warned in Matthew 24 of others who would come and claim to be the Christ.
Right.
In other words, Jesus warned against false Christ. And so, you know, Jesus of the Bible, he didn't mention anything about this except to say that he is the one and only Christ, and that anybody else who claims to be Christ or God is a false prophet or false apostle.
Okay, Dr. Rose, now that we have outlaid their theology, what's the truth behind ghosts and hauntings?
Well, I'm glad that we're going there because, I mean, we need to figure out what the Bible has to say about this, and the Bible does have a lot to say about it. First of all, when psychics are in contact with various spirits, I do not believe that they are in contact with dead human beings. And I think there's very good reason for saying that. Primarily, the Bible is very clear that if you're a Christian and you die, your spirit leaves your body and the spirit goes directly to heaven. That's what we see in 2 Corinthians 5:8 and Philippians 1:21 and other verses. And the spirit of that person is not available for contact by a psychic. In the same way, when a non-Christian dies, his spirit departs from the body and goes to a place of holding where he is punished, awaiting the future judgment. That's very clear from Luke 16, verses 19 to 31. And Scripture is very clear that communication with them is prohibited. It is forbidden. It cannot take place. You might even remember that in that passage, the rich man who died and who, went to this place of suffering, he even wanted to come back and warn his living brothers. But he wasn't allowed to do so because contact with the dead is forbidden. Now, all of that leads me to say the following. I believe that if psychics are in contact with any spirits at all, they are in contact not with dead humans, but rather with demonic spirits who are impersonating dead human spirits. Mm. Scripture is very clear that there is a spirit world beyond this physical world. There is a world of angels, and there is a world of demonic spirits. And Scripture is very clear that Satan and demonic spirits have the ability to impersonate good spirits. And if they can do that, they can also impersonate dead humans. And, if they can deceive 100 million Americans into believing a false theology, certainly I think those spirits are more than willing to impersonate dead humans, don't you?
Oh, yes. And one of the things that you make clear in your book is that there are frauds out there, but then there are those who actually seem to have some knowledge. For instance, like I've watched a couple of times the psychic detectives, where sometimes it seems like the information they give is actually really good information. And clearly the information is beyond themselves. What you're saying, that is absolutely true. It's not the spirit of God, but it's just a whole other spirit you're talking about.
Well, that's right. And, we can test the spirits. In fact, in 1 John 4:1, it tells us to test the spirits. And the reason why Scripture says to test the spirits is because there are some phony spirits out there, these fallen demonic spirits, who seek to deceive people. And the way we test spirits is to measure what they say against the Bible, which is written by the Holy Spirit through human beings. And anything that contradicts the Word of God, it's a very clear indicator that there's a false or evil spirit involved. And so, for example, if we hear some particular spirit speaking to a psychic that says, Jesus is not unique, there's no sin, you don't need to be saved because all people go to heaven, well, you can rest assured that that's a phony demonic spirit, because the Bible is very clear that human beings need a Savior, and only those who trust in Jesus Christ end up in heaven.
So who are some of the main psychics out there today, or paranormal people, and what do they do? I mean, how do they actually operate?
Well, some of the primary psychics that I talk about in the book would include people like James Von Prague and Sylvia Brown and John Edward, not to be confused with the presidential candidate, John Edwards.
Right.
These are the psychics who are writing number one sellers that make the New York Times bestseller list, and they're regularly featured on Larry King and various other television shows. What's interesting is that in many cases, these individuals actually fish for information. Now, in some cases, they're in contact with spirits, but in other cases, I think they're fishing for information. For example, they might be in a TV studio, and one of them might say this, does anyone here have a grandmother that passed on that has a name that begins with the letter R or P or N, M, D, or maybe F? Well, if you have a studio audience of 200 people, somebody's bound to be there that has a grandmother who died with a name beginning with one of those letters.
Right.
Well, that's a technique we call fishing. They're fishing for information, but they're making like they're in contact with one of their dead relatives. And once they find somebody that responds positively, then they go on to say something like this. I sense you may have a piece of jewelry, maybe a ring or a bracelet or something like that. Well, you know, almost everyone has jewelry from a grandmother or grandfather. And so there's a good bet that probably somebody there in the studio audience has a piece of jewelry from a grandmother. So again, what I'm saying is they're fishing for information, but they're making it look like they're actually in contact with, dead people. So you have to be very discerning about all this.
Right. I know that a lot of people go to psychics and, want their future told. So, and we also see a lot of the psychics that make major predictions that we see in the newspaper and all that type of stuff. So how accurate are these psychics really?
Well, they're really not that accurate, even though they claim to be. What I like to do is look at the hard evidence. Show me the facts. Just the facts, ma'am. What was that TV show some years ago?
Oh, that was,
that detective show.
Dragnet, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. But anyway, when you look at the facts, you discover that they're really not that accurate at all. For example, I document all the predictions, or at least many of the predictions made for 2004. For example, the major psychic said that our American troops will be out of Iraq by June or July of 2004. Well, it didn't happen. The psychic said that Martha Stewart will not go to jail. Well, she went to jail. What about 2005? They talked about how the United States would be out of Iraq in 2005. Didn't happen. The Giants will win the series against Cleveland in Game 7. Didn't happen. I remember hearing Sylvia Brown on live radio, and it was right when those miners in West Virginia were collapsed on. You might remember that.
Yes.
And right in the middle of that, the radio host asked Sylvia Brown, based upon her psychic ability, if they would all live. And she said, yes, I sense that they will all live. Well, they went to a commercial break, and right after the commercial break, they came back, and the host had a news report in which he had to say, we've just learned that they've all died except one. Well, there you have it on live radio.
Wow.
Fact is, the psychics make all kinds of mistakes. Now, the contrast, of course, is that the biblical prophets never made a mistake.
Yeah.
The biblical prophets were 100% correct, and everything they predicted has come to pass. So, if there's any question about who you ought to follow, the prophets of God or the psychics that live today, you should go with the prophets of God.
Yeah, I actually give talks on the reliability of the Bible, and one of the things I point out is what you just said, that the Bible is 100% accurate. And I actually quoted a study that was done by a major magazine on psychics where they were 92% wrong.
Yeah.
There's a big difference.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? People still want to believe.
Right.
It's interesting how people want to believe despite the fact that these people make mistakes. And that just shows how desperate they are to get in contact with dead loved ones.
Yeah, and it's actually sort of sad, too, because if you are a believer, you know that you will see your loved ones again. If they're believers and you're believers, you know that you will see them again. That is the ultimate hope.
Well, that's right. I mean, the scriptures say that Christians grieve when a loved one dies, but we don't grieve as the rest of the men. In other words, even though we grieve when a loved one dies, we know that we're going to be together with them again. But you see, these psychics, they're really playing to a captive audience, and it's a terrible thing because it can cost $500 to $700, you know, just for a half hour of spending time with a psychic. What a ripoff.
Right.
You know, $500 to $700 for information that's not even accurate. How much better to go to the Word of God, which is 100% accurate, and which gives us the only true hope that we have in regard to what lies beyond the grave? You know, right. Doesn't it make better sense to trust the one who's actually come back from the grave, Jesus
Absolutely.
Christ? He's
Absolutely.
The only one who conquered death, so why not trust him?
Right. Well, Dr. Rose, I guess I could tell my audience that the best resource for finding out about this is your book, The Truth Behind Ghosts, Mediums, and Psychic Phenomena. Is there any other resource you would recommend?
Well, certainly there are a number of good authors from a Christian perspective who have written on this topic. I think of my friends John Ankerberg and John Weldon. They've put out a lot of good stuff on psychic phenomena and the occult. Certainly Kenneth Boa and Walter Martin, my old friend. He's with the Lord now, but he wrote a great book called The Kingdom of the Cults, and part of that book does deal with the occult. So, yeah, there's plenty of good books out there. There's also information at my website that we mentioned earlier that you can just download for free.
Could you give that again, that URL again?
That's Ron Rhodes, RONRHODES.org.
Okay.
And if you go there, you'll probably find some of the information that you need, just free of charge.
Okay, Dr. Ron Rose, I thank you for being on the show, talking with me about the truth behind ghosts, mediums, and psychic phenomena. That will end this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless. The preceding show has been sponsored by Giving an Answer with your host, H.C. Felder. So you can hear this broadcast as well as other episodes by visiting us online at givinganswer.org. You can also order a CD or a DVD of the studio recording by calling me at 704-248-7840. And remember, this show will only stay on the air if people continue to help us buy airtime. So I encourage you to consider making a tax-deductible financial donation to this ministry. That phone number again is 704-248-7840. And be sure to join me again next time on Giving an Answer.